Please be advised that the following episode of Boots on the Ground may contain triggering views on race to some listeners.
Now we're in the situation where the black people are discriminating against white people and the black people are singing about killing white people. This is the new apartheid.
When people are young and irresponsible, they're young and irresponsible.
Why is there racism? Human nature. Have you personally experienced any form of racism in the last 5 years? The vast majority, roughly 80% of black people say no. No one asks me, what was the methodology?
You are the grandson of principal architect of apartheid, Hendrik Verwoerd.
He was a brilliant person. Some people say he was an evil genius.
There's a lack of understanding of how racism actually still is a part of the South African journey.
We have not dealt with the issue of race in this country.
Transitioning from apartheid to freedom, South African anti-apartheid advocates undertook to unify the country after more than four decades of white minority rule, which was a racist system to politically and economically exclude non-white people. Despite actions to reconcile the country, racists continue to hold on to their fixed views, and South Africa is among the most racist countries in the world. We'll get perspectives from the South African Human Rights Commission, the Institute of Race Relations, the Ahmad Kathrada Foundation, and the FF Plus Political Party. Hello and welcome to this episode of Boots on the Ground. Behind South Africa's national headlines, I am Bulelani Nonyokela. In the news recently, a series of old clips resurfaced online of Democratic Alliance Member of Parliament Ronaldo House spewing violent racist language against black people using the K and N words. The DA has since suspended House, but the party, the second biggest in the country, was accused of sugarcoating racism in their suspension statement, referring to the MP's racist tirade as execrable language, which means extremely bad language. And nowhere in the statement is racism or a synonym of it mentioned. Let's hear the clip and reaction from party leader John Steenhuisen before House was suspended. Steenhuisen's clip is courtesy of IOL.
And people say it was bad back in apartheid. Jesus. You know, the white people in this country is going through a reverse apartheid. Say whatever the f*** you want, all right? Back in the day, black people were beaten. Black people were killed, all right? What has changed? Today, white people are beaten, white people are killed, white people are discriminated against. What's the fucking difference? Please do tell me. Call me a fucking racist if you want. But you come and live in this fucking country, and you, though a white individual, come live here and tell me that you aren't discriminated against, and that you aren't fucking blamed for things that happened in the past, even though I had no fucking hand in it.
I think the remarks need to be seen in their context. He's apologized for them. It was 16 years ago. You know, when people are young and irresponsible, they're young and irresponsible. And he's acknowledged that. He realizes he's now a member of parliament, and he now has to abide by the rules of the caucus.
So no plans to that.
Well, we'll have to see what the party processes are going forward. I'm not familiar with those.
All right, so there's a couple of things I want to say. Okay. Kill the fucking Kaffirs. Kill all the fucking niggas. That's all I've got to fucking say. Kill all the Kaffirs, kill all the fucking niggas. So the chief of the police in South Africa, you know, is making it a mission now to curb farm murders. And here you have the ANC Youth League president singing about killing the farmer, killing the boer. You know, and both of them are from, you know, the ANC, or they support the ANC. So how the fuck does that work, all right? And then, you know, in 90 days, we're going to have the World Cup in South Africa. And here you have an ignorant little fucking black idiot singing about kill the boer, kill the farmer. You know, and the best part is the ANC is going to, we'll have a talk to him about that, you know. We won't fire him. We won't dismiss him. We won't discipline him. We'll have a talk about this with him, you know. But we all know nothing's going to happen. But now this is what I want to know, right? If I had to go in the street and get about 50 white people and start saying kill the cat, just kill the niggas. What do you think's gonna happen? I mean, I can't get a job because I'm white, right? I'm being discriminated against. What happened in apartheid? Black people were discriminated against, right? The white people back in the day that were ignorant sang about killing fucking black people. Well, they didn't even sing. They killed black people. You know, for instance, I'm using an example. Well, now we're in the situation where the black people are discriminating against white people and the black people are singing about killing white people. So, in essence, this is the new apartheid and I'm the sufferer of that. So, in 10 to 15 years, will I be able to have an uprising and basically shoot black people because I feel that, you know, my rights has been taken away from me? But let me sing, kill the black people. What will happen? Let any white person in this country go on a public forum and sing about killing black people, and then you'll see what happens.
Orania in the Karoo has faced public backlash, with many arguing the town is identical to racial segregation of apartheid. It was established in 1991 as South Africa ended white minority rule, and it was established by Karel Boshoff Sr., the son-in-law of apartheid architect Hendrik Verwoerd. It has its own flag with the same colors of the old South African flag, which represented different colonies that colonized the country. The FF Plus party leader in the province, Wynand Boshoff, is the grandson of the man who engineered apartheid, Hendrik Verwoerd. He has lived in Orania since 1991 and has asked the ANC to formally recognize the town. Boshoff explains how the town is different from apartheid racial segregation.
It's an Afrikaner town, so there's no such thing as a whites-only policy. You can go through our policies and everything. It's about culture, it's not about race. And I think that is very important. That is also the stance of the Freedom Front Plus, that it was founded on the basis of self-determination as part of, let's say, post-minority government South Africa, the post-apartheid South Africa. You could have two opposites. On the one, in the one pole could be a kind of forced segregation. The other pole is a 100% unitary state, with no political space between the individual citizen and the government, the national government. Now, evidently, all governments on earth are a little bit in between, with provinces, municipalities, different structures, civil organizations, all occupying spaces in that area between the state and the individual. And that's where we find ourselves. That is Orania and the Freedom Front Plus, both on the whole idea of minority rights. Most unacceptable part of the whole policy or the whole era of apartheid and before that colonialism was that you have an integrated economy with everyone participating in the economy, but not equal political rights. Some just have the right to work. They don't have the right to vote or to influence the political, the constitutional dispensation in which they live. So that is a minority government stance. You deny people their political rights despite the fact that they are an integral part of the society and of the economy. Now, that was never going to work. It could work in a kind of a colonial era where nobody counts people. They just look for, you know, military power, and whoever has the most military power, they just displace other political structures the way they like. That's not going to work anymore. I think the death knell on that has been rung with the end of the Second World War. And in some places, it extended beyond that, like in South Africa. But in Orania, just like many other cultural areas, Taung, Tabanchu with Barolong, Steinkopf, where I've been recently been with Nama people, you have a cultural community. And it seems to me it's only if a cultural community is predominantly white that that gets to be a problem. Nobody goes to Tong and say, okay, so where are the whites? But the thing is, it's not as if black people are not allowed in Orania. What we expect from anybody who comes to live here permanently is to declare themselves as part of the Afrikaner community and to associate with that. And if the person, whether he's lily white or whatever you, that is the case, The critical thing of Orania is that we say the labor has to be done by the inhabitants, by the people who live here. So that doesn't mean everybody has to do everything. Of course, you have specialization and people entering different spaces in the labor market. But you don't have a township just across the street where you get your labor by day and then you send them back by night. And then you believe that is the essence of apartheid, which was unsustainable and undefendable. And that's not what Orania is.
You are the grandson of principal architect of apartheid, Hendrik Velvoet. Why should the public not think that your intentions about Orania and the country are not sinister, as it seems you have similar interests as your grandfather?
Yeah, I mean, that's something one can always discuss, one's ancestors, the significance of one's ancestors, what they have to do with you directly, how one's ancestors are seen by other people, how they are seen by yourself, what you know out of your own family history. So that is a very long debate on its own. People tend to ask me some questions about my grandfather. Now, I should say that he died 4 years before I was born, so we never knew each other. There's one thing that people don't argue about. He was a brilliant person. Some people say he was an evil genius. Some people admire him. So what I say is there are two differences between me and him. The one is I'm not brilliant at all. I'm a very ordinary person. The other thing is I'm living now. He lived 50 years ago, nearly 60 years ago. So I'm not going to try and enter into every political discourse by first discussing my approach towards what my grandfather did. Everybody works in the light of their time, but I actually think I'm entitled to being judged upon my own opinions and what I say about the present.
Now, maybe as a family, is there maybe anything, any strides, the family, only contributions that you have made to counteract all the evil things that have happened because of apartheid?
Yeah, maybe I should start by saying that the whole history between the 1940s and the 1990s are dealt with as if it is just one thing, like one unchanged static era, which it was not. I would say my own father had his second congregation where he worked as a minister of religion was in Lwowa. He did a lot of work there, founding hospitals, clinics, other kinds of humanitarian work. Then he moved to Soweto, where he worked in Diepkloof. That was his next congregation. An uncle of mine was also in the same area where he did a lot of work to help people becoming economically self-sufficient. But we are also dedicated to our own people, to Afrikaners, and to say we are a small minority in South Africa. We are some, let's say, 2 million out of a population of 66 million. So we do, as the Bible says, what your hand finds to do.
The legal executive director of the Institute of Race Relations, Gabriel Krauser, tells us racism is human nature and 80% of black people do not experience racism, but it's exaggerated by politicians and the media.
There's been efforts to bring South Africans together in terms of the races so that South Africa is one. What do you think is keeping the race? Because there are still racial tensions in the country. What do you think is keeping the racial tensions in South Africa? Why is there still so much disconnect between South African races?
Why is there racism? Human nature. There will always be murder, rape, and racism in South Africa because there will always be human beings and human nature in South Africa. To my mind, the question should be, are things getting worse or better? Not is there racism, is there murder, is there rape? If you ask most South Africans, the polls generally indicate that there is overwhelming support for the notion that people across races need each other. Some 10 to 15%, roughly speaking, within each race, thinks that it would be better without all of the others of other races, that it would be better to work to go alone. But the overwhelming majority, 80% roughly, believe we need to work together. And on the question, have you personally experienced any form of racism in the last 5 years? The polls indicate that the vast majority, roughly 80% of Black people, say no.
Mm. Is this the data that you can share with us, like how it was conducted and maybe where the people were interviewed? Is there any?
I don't know that I can say where the people were interviewed. They were across the country.
Okay.
You want to know which address?
No, the sample. I want to maybe how many
people. Yes, I can share the reference to methodology, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm very happy to do that. I'll also just say, you know, I've been doing this work for a long time.
Mm.
If I tell you that a survey found that 80% of South Africans think the country's going in the wrong direction,
mm.
no one asks me what was the methodology. Then if I say 80% of Black South Africans say they have not personally experienced any form of racism in the last 5 years, then everyone wants to know the methodology.
It only makes
I'm
sense.
Very happy to share the methodology. I'm very, very happy to. It's
yeah,
important
no,
to
no,
be
it only makes sense because what you are saying and what the views are outside when we are speaking to people, it's not the same.
Well, when you're speaking, yeah. So this is, I think what you're leading me to is the difference between the lived experience of ordinary people
mm.
and the fashionable position of many politicians and intellectuals.
Mm. Okay, so are you saying...
Who advertise their brand by saying the following. They say, if you see one instance of racism, you must know it's everywhere all of the time. Imagine to yourself if someone said every time there was one murder, they said, actually, in every household, every day there's a murder. It would be a crazy proposition. But unfortunately, so the question, is it getting better? You asked me, is it getting better? The way that South African professional politicians and media analysts talk about race, in my opinion, has been getting worse over the last 7 years. It has become more normal for racists of all sorts to express views that are out of touch with reality.
Ahmed Katrada Foundation Anti-Racism Program Manager Ritabile Ratsomo gives us a brief overview of how far the country has gone and what could be keeping racial tensions alive.
30 years post-democracy, we're kind of at this juncture as the country where, you know, do you believe, firstly, that racism still exists, not just in South Africa, but in general, right? I think with the post-democratic project, when it came to racism, a lot of people born post-94 are people who buy into the theory or who are taught the theory of we don't see race. So there's a lack of understanding of how racism actually still is a part of the South African kind of journey. So I think, firstly, that's where we start off, is that, you know, whether or not people believe racism still exists in South Africa is something that we're not quite settled on. And then I think also with that comes then the understanding that, you know, if racism is still alive in South Africa, it has a history, right? And that legacy of apartheid and the racism that we faced continues in South Africa today. So I think the kind of, you know, racial segregation in terms of spatial housing, we kind of see the ways that, you know, the apartheid legacy continues in South Africa. We see it in the economic disparity. Economics between the racial groups is still quite a big divider. We see how politicians play on race politics in order to garner support. We see all these kinds of things still happening, which shows us that, you know, also the legacy of apartheid and race relations is still very prevalent in South Africa. That's what continues to keep racial tensions alive, is that, you know, we still see the effects of apartheid. And I think as much as we have done such a great job at kind of uniting the country and enforcing legislation that issue consequences to these kinds of behaviors, we're still in a sort of situation where all these structural elements are still present. And then we also then have, on top of that, the interpersonal things where we see people of different racial groups not getting along. So also the social disparity, I think, which is related to the kind of spatial segregation, I think, adds to that.
Ratomo opposes the Institute of Race Relations' take that racism is human nature.
The Institute of Race Relations, you know, in the past has produced great research when it comes to race relations in South Africa, but I do think that doesn't have a true understanding of the kind of research areas that they focus, don't have a true reflection of the day-to-day kind of racism that exists, not just in South Africa, but globally as well. I mean, we understand as humans that part of human nature is looking for people that are similar to you, right? We bond more over our similarities as opposed to our differences. So in that sense, as humans, we are categorically biased. But I don't think we can say that racism is human nature when we all also understand that racism in itself is a social construct. It's not something that is biological. It's not something, you know, my DNA is very close to that of a white person, of an Indian person, of a colored person. So I think it would be inaccurate to say that racism is human nature. I do think, like I was saying, obviously, that racial politics in South Africa are definitely played up by politicians. And that can be in a good or a bad way. People want to find those who are similar to them. But I think when it's then used as a divisive tool, that's when it becomes a problem, because it then takes us back to then there's a kind of pecking order.
Commenting on Aranya, she says the town raises questions, but the constitution should guide the country.
And, you know, a lot of people, obviously, it's a very controversial topic because it takes us back to the kind of things that were done during apartheid and that kind of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of questions I think it raises about where, how far are we when it comes firstly to segregation and then to integration when 30 years post-democracy, we're finding still communities or cultural groups in South Africa still wanting to, you know, separate themselves. So I think it raises a lot of questions. But I think, you know, as South Africans, we have to be guided by our constitution. And I think if there's something in Oranje that, you know, goes against the values of our constitution, then that's when we really should have a problem towards it, because, you know, it's something where it means that we're not upholding the kind of unity we spoke about earlier that we're trying to bring into this country. And we're taking away from the idea that South Africa belongs to all who are in it, which means that people who are not of the Afrikaner community may not be able to reside there. So I think, you know, if it's in that sense, if it goes against constitutional boundaries, then it's something that we need to relook at. But cultural communities exist all over South Africa. And I think more prevalent in the media because it's an Afrikaner community. And they've kind of really formalized the system, which is also quite scary because it leads to questions to whether or not do they see themselves as part of the South African post-democratic journey. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, cultural groups are a norm. You know, it's something that as South Africans, we're used to seeing. You know we go to KZN and we see different tribal groups and all of that. Or you go to the Eastern Cape and you see that. But I think the kind of formality that comes with it is quite jarring in the sense that we just then don't have questions or answers. We haven't answered the questions about what its implications are.
The South African Human Rights Commission was established to support constitutional democracy. Chairperson of the commission, Chris Nelson, gives an assessment.
The tensions, racial tensions in this country, in the Republic of South Africa, must be seen against the background of where we come from colonialism and from apartheid. And what has increased this tension is the inequality and the poverty and the unemployment that we have. And people say that, look, where are we today? And also we have seen one group in South Africa moving into one area where they've got all the privileges and continue to have privileges. They live insecure in other areas. And so people, we have not dealt with the issue of race in this country. We've not dealt with it. We smooth over it. And hence, we even see in the Human Rights Commission that one of the highest complaints that we receive are about racism, because we have not tackled racism at its root cause. And its root cause is prejudice, and it's not about human nature. There can no such thing be as human nature influencing racism. Racism is an ideology, and racism is being taught, and racism comes from the fact that one class or one group of people think they are better than the others, either influenced by, in the case of apartheid, influenced by religion and by the whiteness. you know, because they thought they were gods predestined to rule South Africa. They predestined that the whole apartheid ideology was based on a group of people who thought that God has given them this country and that God, and then they are elected by God in that sense. So racism is nothing to do with human, it's just human. It is because we teach our children, it's inculcated, it's there because of an ideology developed. Ideologies are developed on political basis and racial basis and religious basis. So ideology is not falling from the sky. No human being is born a racist. We are taught that. We are formed by our socialization and the way we are looking. We are being taught how to look at other people. And over the years, in history, we are taught to look at people from religious, class, and race basis, from hair to facial structure to color and to where you come from. Prejudices are there. But prejudice and race is not simply because we're human beings. It is a philosophy, it's an ideology, it's manufactured by those who think they're better than others and use politics to support it. You know, we have seen in many parts of the world that there are some communities, for religious reasons or other reasons, move into enclaves and to make sure that they are keeping what they think is a religious or cultural tradition. But, you know, all of those communities need to come to town. They need to, even if they've got their own processing, their own currency, whatever, like in Orania, they've got their own money, their own currency, but the currency only works for them. But they must still come to town. And they buy the stuff in town, and they have to use rands. We in South Africa, and that is one of the reasons I say we have not dealt with the issue about race. You cannot have one group saying they want to be different from South Africans and have one racial group that wants to be on their own. South Africa is a constitutional democracy. We cannot allow any one place to be for one people and for the other people, like we've had in this country on the Bantustans, you know, for the Khoisans here, the Ndebeles there, the Swazis there, and so we broke that down. There's no more Bantustans. So if anybody think that they can live on their own in isolation from South Africa, they can't. That's why it was so ironic that one person, Orania, voted for the EFF. So it shows that, you know, it's maybe an escape, but it's not the reality.
By the time of publication, we had not seen the Institute of Race Relations research on 80% of black people not experiencing racism. Thank you for listening to this episode of Boots on the Ground. I am Bulelani Nonyukela.
You have been listening to Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national headlines. Boots on the Ground is a podcast series documenting South African stories and speaking to people at grassroots level. The series was nominated in the Best Podcast category at the 2023 South African Radio Awards. Boots on the Ground is mobile journalism. All interviews, voices, and sound effects have been gathered using smartphones. Boots on the Ground is a production of Times Life Podcasts, a division of Arena Holdings, publishers of the Sunday Times, Financial Mail, and Sowetan. For this episode, narration, editing, and audio was gathered by Bulelani Nonyukela. To catch the next episode of Boots on the Ground, subscribe for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.